God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text coming from our gospel reading, and a very familiar gospel reading, as Jesus is speaking these words to the 11 disciples. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is our text. It's interesting to note, as we celebrate this Holy Trinity Day, that's also a day which we remember and we thank and award those students who have been faithful in their attendance and learning a little bit more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also those volunteers who have been teaching them. This is what our Lord and Savior commands us to do, is to teach. To teach particularly the same things that He taught them. He also gives them another command to baptize. To baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is what the church does. Proclaim God's word, that teaching, and administer the sacraments. Baptism, the Lord's Supper. These are the marks of the church. Unfortunately, in today's world, there are many people who don't feel that these are the marks of the church. It's usually every year I get this letter, and it's usually the photocopy of the same letter I got last year. So it sounds a little strange, but I have a feeling it comes from a group of believers or a group of people who don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity, because this letter is filled with some interesting examples. They say there is no such thing as the Trinity. I typically get this letter every year. It's probably going to come maybe this next week. Usually coincides with Trinity Sunday. Because they'll say that there is no such thing as the Trinity. So if you do a Bible search on the word Trinity in your Bible, you may come up with the same conclusion, because Trinity will not be found in your Bible. But the concept of what the Trinity is found in your Bible. Actually, in our text for today. The Trinity being one God, but Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you have a red-letter edition of the Bible, it's even in red. These are Jesus' words. We convey the point and the theology of the Trinity, of what we believe and what we teach here at Trinity Lutheran Church. At least we better. It's in our name. But yet, I will admit, the word Trinity was developed by a church council in order to explain something that's incomprehensible. We even say this in our Athanasian Creed. We call God incomprehensible. And today, as I was trying to teach the Sunday school students, in one essence, I was trying to confuse them, which, when you're teaching the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, is not too difficult. How can you say that there are three persons but one God? It is incomprehensible, but that's the way that Scripture reveals God to us. This is God's Word. So we take God at face value. You're going to call yourself Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and say there's one God? I believe it. That's the way Scripture teaches. This is what we teach. But I will admit that incomprehensible aspect of God can be a bit frustrating for us as human beings. We like things to be orderly, designed, to be put together a certain way so that we can comprehend it. And so when we say in the Creed that the Father is incomprehensible, the Son is incomprehensible, and the Holy Spirit incomprehensible, this is sort of like taking nails on a chalkboard to us. We don't like things to be incomprehensible. But let's think of it this way. From God's point of view, especially from our text, He talks about all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And He says at the end of our text, I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's interesting. If we start thinking about that last line in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And there are groups of believers all over this world. How can Jesus be in all those places at one time? Well, we can answer that by saying, not only is Jesus true man, but He's also true God. That doesn't help. It's still incomprehensible. And as we're struggling with this aspect of the Holy Trinity and the divine power and majesty of God, Let me just put it one more way on how this is really incomprehensible. We talk about how God is all-knowing, that He is with us always to the very end of the age. So He is with us when we're outside of church. He's with us when we're at home. He's with us when we're at work. When we're in the car, He's with us always. Fair enough. Now let me change the scenario a little bit, or give a little bit of different descriptors here. He is with us when we sin. He is with us when we disobey God. He is with us when we have those angry thoughts and are frustrated with our fellow brothers and sisters. He is with us even when we want to be alone because we want to do something we don't want anyone to see. What's the point I'm trying to convey? Bottom line is, all of us have what we call these skeletons in the closet, these things in our past that we have done that we're not proud of. We're ashamed of. We have sinned. We have fallen short of God's glory. And we like to keep these things hidden. Because if they were exposed, we'd be afraid of what our friends, our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors would think of us if they knew of every single evil thought, sin that we committed. Here's the miracle. God knows. Not to scare you, but God knows our deepest, ugliest thoughts. And He says, I still love you. God knows our sin. And He says, I'm still willing to die on the cross for the forgiveness of that sin to restore you and me to be with God in heaven above. Talk about true love. Talk about something that's incomprehensible to us human beings. Because if someone offends us and we get our nose out of joint, we're so quick to write them off and ignore them. But when we offend God, true, God doesn't like it when we sin and we disobey. But God still loves us. He still forgives us. He still wants us to be with Him in heaven above. Talk about the doctrine of the Holy Trinity being incomprehensible. How about God's love being incomprehensible? I guess this is a good thing that we have a God that is beyond our understanding. It's incomprehensible to us how someone could know all our baggage and still love us. How many times have we pushed God out of our lives and He still wants to be in a relationship with us? Wow, that is incomprehensible. Another aspect, it's not in our text, but Jesus in the Gospels invites us to come to Him with our prayers, with our requests, our thanksgivings. I will admit, I have a hard time just listening to one person talk to me at one time. Just think now if everyone in the whole world started talking to me. I'd go nuts. Not with God. Remember, God is incomprehensible. He's able to listen to our thoughts, our prayers, even when our words are not even coming out very audibly out of our mouth, but coming silently from our hearts in words that don't seem to make much sense, but they make sense to Him. Because He is with us always. He knows us. He is there. He loves us. He's concerned for us. He forgives us. Truly a very incomprehensible God who does all that for us. And we have a hard enough time to say, thank you, Lord. Too often in our own lives, we complain. We gripe. Too often in our own lives, we say, this Athanasian Creed is a little incomprehensible in and of itself. Why do we use it? We have a hard time struggling with what God's Word says to us about how God describes Himself. But to be fair, in one essence, I'm kind of thankful. Because if I put God neatly in the back of my mind, in an organized box, and I've got God completely figured out, what I have really done is I've made God in my own image. That isn't a God who's going to save me, who's going to love me, because deep down inside of me is a sinner who falls short of God's glory. Where there is hate, there is anger, and there is unforgiveness. I don't want that type of God. I want a God that's outside of me. A God who is willing to go to the cross and die on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. A God who takes on human flesh and blood and knows what it's like to walk in our shoes, so to speak, and knows the frustrations that we deal with every day and says, I will give you that strength because you need it. How people can live in this world without even acknowledging a God sounds kind of scary to me. Every day I need that strength, I need that encouragement that comes from the incomprehensible God. But even as our text said, verse 11, when they saw him, they worshipped him. These were the disciples, the 11, the closest with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They witnessed his death. They saw his resurrection. This was in the 40 days after that, when he is now going to ascend up into heaven. And they worshipped him. And notice the next phrase after that. Some doubted. Isn't that strange? Even just after worshiping him, some doubted? That shows you our fickleness as human beings. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? If I can bring up from James chapter 2, verse 19. James writes, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. We live in a world where the name of God and the theology that God's Word brings to us is trampled upon every day. We don't have to go very far to find pastors and even denominations and other groups of Christians denying the incarnation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That very first Christmas event, they would deny it by saying that Jesus was just an ordinary human being. But we have to go back to what the Athanasian Creed says. Because it is very, very clear about who Jesus is. On page 9, about halfway in the middle of that page, one of the responses from the people was, furthermore, it is necessary to everlasting salvation that he also believe faithfully the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it take to be a Christian? Does it just take knowing that, yes, a person named Jesus lived on this earth? No. Even the demons believe that. You have to understand what the Athanasian Creed is trying to teach us. What God's Word is trying to teach us. That there is sin in this world, and because of this sin, because of our sin, because of my sin, there's also consequences. The wages of sin is death, as Paul reminds us in Romans. And as this creed also confesses, and as the Word of God also adheres to, who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. We also have to realize that when this Christ, the Messiah, died on the cross, this very true man, true God, Jesus, that he died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Believe the Word of God as the God is that witness to us through this Word and the testimony of the rest of the disciples. Believe in the resurrection of the dead. These are the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith, which the Athanasian Creed does an excellent job in explaining. We need a Savior. For some people, they would say that this God is just incomprehensible. Who can rise from the dead? Not you, not me. Fortunately, the Christ did. It is in Him we have salvation. It is in Him we have hope. It is in Him that we draw our strength when the corruptions of this world and sin infect our lives so much that we are driven to a point of no hope. And when we are driven to that point of no hope, now we really need a Savior. We thank our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank the Father. We thank the Holy Spirit, one God, three persons of the Trinity, for providing that strength, for giving us that faith, for encouraging us each and every day of our lives, because we need it. And when people try to take away the Trinity and dismiss it as incomprehensible, we sit there and say, thank you. Yes, our God is incomprehensible. For our salvation, He is incomprehensible. So we take God at His word of what the Bible is trying to teach us. And this is the reason why we have an early childhood care center, to teach God's Word to these little ones. I will admit, we don't necessarily cover the doctrine of the Holy Trinity at ages 3, 4, and 5, but we do cover some of the other aspects of what God's Word says. We also cover these things in Sunday school and for Vacation Bible School and our adult Bible classes. This is who we are at Trinity. We teach this faith. We live this faith. And so we come today to celebrate the Holy Trinity. We come to receive Christ's body and blood with that bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith, because we need that strength each and every day. So we take God at His own word as He concludes this Gospel of Matthew. I will be with you always. We thank and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being incomprehensible and for being with us always, because we need it. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.